I wanted to speak a bit about a topic that has, I guess, broader implications about learning. I guess everybody by now, at this time of the winter, if you're still here, the idea that you're supposed to learn and learning is good for you is kind of going on you. But I'd like to speak about something about a certain deeper tension in, for someone who's more of a thinking person, about learning and so on, and more about the implication of a person's relationship to Torah, the fact that it's Hashem's, the fact that it's His, and I'd like to try to get a something of a deeper understanding about that tension, which is part and parcel of what Torah is. Let's start with a Chazal. Chazal described Moshe Ola Lakim. Moshe went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chazal say the following. Yochol, so the pasuk says like this. Moshe Hador Dechsev, it says in the pasuk, Olisa Lamaro, you went up to Shemayim. Shavisa Shevi, and you captured someone. In other words, Torah was kind of snatched. So Chazal say, Yochol Mipnei Sheshava Isanot Lechinam, I would think because you captured it, you got it for free, or Moshe got it for free. Talmud Loma Lakachta Matonos Be'Adam. You got it as, you Lakachta means you acquired it, which kind of implies you paid for it. B'Lekicha Nitnalo. It was given to him as an acquisition. Yochol Yechayiv Litlo Adamim. I think you got to pay for it. You know, acquisitions don't come for free. Talmud Loma Matonos. It says Matonos B'Matona Nitnalo. It was given to him as a gift. So, Chazal speak in metaphor, in riddles. He bought it, but I would think you have to pay for it if you buy it. So it tells you it was a gift. So what does it mean he bought it and it was a gift? I mean, those are two contradictory terms. Either you buy it or get it as a gift. How do you reconcile the two? What does Chazal mean with it exactly? What are they talking? I would think you have to pay for it. Or how would you pay for it? What does it mean you would pay for Torah? I'd like actually to point out a very interesting point in the Rambam. The Rambam, when he lists, the Rambam's Sefer, Yad HaZaka, is marvelous in almost every way. I'm not coming to praise him and give us comments, not, but to notice something. The Rambam's Sefer is one of the things that it's extraordinary for is its construction. The ability to place things in categories. As anyone knows, if you place things in categories well, half the information is in the category. So let's take a look in, let's just analyze a point the Rambam. The Rambam has a sefer called Kinyan, how people acquire things. Okay, that's good. There's the first set of halachas is called Hilchas Mechira. How does one sell something? So there's a whole list of different kinyanim, which is good, that's very, very good. Then he has another set of halachas called Schia Umatana. How a person acquires things that are hefker, and how a person receives gifts. If I were writing the Rambam, I would write Hilchas Mechira Umatana, or maybe I wouldn't even write Mechira Matana. Matana is a deal where the price is zero in halacha, and that's what the Rambam writes just about. The Rambam starts both halachas the same way. He says you cannot sell by just saying you're selling it. You have to do some act, which is a ma'aseh kinyan. And he says the same thing in matana. A matana baal peh doesn't work. You have to make some ma'aseh. So for all practical purposes, mechira and matana are one and the same thing. It's just the price. One, you pay for it, and one is the price is zero. But why would you put a whole section of it? And more than that, you kind of it's put together with schia. It's a very, very strange division. There are some halachas that pertain to mechira that couldn't pertain to matana. For instance, onah, overpaying, overpricing, underpaying. Fine. Those are very specific halachas about the, when the price is zero, it's hard to say you over or underpaid for it. But that's not, it's a very, very, it's a point that's obvious, and there's no reason why we don't have to divide into two halachas. It's very, very strange. I want to point out there is a another type of area where you find an almost same exact contradiction, oxymoron. Chazal say, "Mishatorach be'erev Shabbos yochel b'Shabbos." That if you don't work for Shabbos, you don't have a Shabbos. The Rambam says that some of the halachas of Muktzah are there because of people who sit around doing nothing, the Yoshvei Kronis, and without any palpable recognition that a Shabbos, there'd be no Shabbos. Unless a person works hard 6 days, unless a person prepares for Shabbos, and it's a metaphor for Olam Haba, Mishatorach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos, is a metaphor for all of Ruchniyistik enterprise. Yet on Shabbos it says, Matana Toiva Yeshli Be'Beis Gnozai, I have a gift. He told Moshe, Lech V'Idiyam, go tell Klal Yisrael what kind of wonderful gift you got from me. They got Shabbos. Well, if Shabbos is a gift, then where's the Mishnah Torah? And in Halacha, when you have to, in Halacha, for instance, a gift that you have to quote unquote work for, something that requires some sort of, kind of preparation, the Halacha is it's like Mechira, for instance, by Lo Sechanin. You're not allowed to give an Akum a gift, but it says, if he's going to work better, you know, if there's some sort of hidden agenda, it's no longer a gift. So we really, really have an issue over here. How to reconcile this mecha part and the matana part? These are two separate areas that are oxymoron, and yet Chazal emphasize both elements, both in Torah and in Shabbos, where you have matana and kinyan. So let's talk a little bit about some of the deeper aspects of it and understand what it is. When we think about kinyan, you know, we take it for granted that a person acquires something. It's an abstract concept that I have ownership. Where does it start with? So the pasuk says on a Kodesh Baruch Hu is kone shemayim va'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kone shemayim v'aretz. The word kone would mean acquire, literally, and yet, obviously, it doesn't make any sense. And Rashi says, because he made them, that's why he's kone. What does it mean, because he made it, that's why he's kone? So, I'd like to allude, there's a Reb Chaim that says the following. Reb Chaim's Briska says, in Halacha, in Lamdas, that if a person has a field, if a person sows crops in a field that's hefka, the crops belong to him. In other words, if you sow it in somebody else's field, it belongs to the owner of the field because that's the major contribution, and he's got to give you some sort of pay for what you did, whether it's shvach or tzos, depending on circumstances. But if you plant stuff in a field that is hefker, it is yours. Because the elementary foundation point of kinyan is what you produced is you. What you produced is yours, and by it's an extension of yourself. So a person exists not only where he is, but an expenditure of self, whatever that metamorphosizes into, is you. So when a person works for something, so sometimes when you plant the stuff in somebody else's field, you have a conflict of two people. But when you plant it in Hefka, since it's your work, it's yours because it's an extension of yourself. Yaakov Avinu, when it says that he went back for the Pachem Ketanim because it's Chavim on Tzadikim Amonim, it means because a Tzadik who doesn't take from Gzela, whatever he's acquired is 100% self. It's my time. It's my energy. It's me. And therefore, it's not different than it being a hand or a finger or any part of yourself. So the concept of kinyan, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu built it into the Bria, is that people, whatever it is, whatever enterprise they engage in, is theirs, and it becomes part of themselves. And that's why it's a fascinating thing. Let's just take a psychological aspect of it. If, let's say, I would tell you, I've got a great way for you to earn $100. How would you earn $100? Well, in the most dangerous neighborhood, New York, somewhere in the middle of Harlem, there is a $100 bill laying on the floor. You can make $100 doing something or other. How about going and doing it? You tell them, what are you, crazy? I mean, my life's worth a lot more than $100. I'm not going to risk my life for $100. But if somebody steals $100 from you, somebody tries to run off $100, most people will resist. And even if it's dangerous, they're going to fight. And it's a chazal. It says that somebody who's a boba machteris, if a thief comes at night, it has an aspect of dinei nefashos to it, because chazal say there's a chazaka that a bailim will be omer al mamono. He will resist having it stolen. So I'm going to ask a person, sit down and ask a person, I don't understand you. To earn $100 by going into a dangerous neighborhood, you were smart enough to tell me, no, that's stupid, it's not worth it. But to resist $100 being stolen from you, you're going to do that. People will litigate almost the value of what they're going to earn if they feel it's their money and they've been unjustly taken for a ride. The answer is because for money, we use value. It's not worth $100 to risk your life even a little bit, and therefore, we're not willing to do that. But once I've invested myself in something, and I see it as self, then I am not willing to give it up, because it's like saying give up a half a finger. I mean, it's me. It's me. I'm not going. And when somebody takes money that I feel is mine, that I've sweated for it, worked for it, earned for it, I'm going to resist it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria a certain framework for a person extending himself into other things, and that's called kinyan. And by extension, that's lekicha. So it makes a difference if I earned these $100, and then I went and bought with $100 something, an iPod of sorts, then that iPod is also mine. Look at the difference between when you get it as a gift or when you work for it. People who work for it tend to take care of things and tend to be a lot less negligent because it's them. So the world of mechira, the world of acquisition, the world of lekicha, means that the person is actually going to take something and make it part of himself. It started with himself. It started with the expenditure of self. All it is a conversion of oneself in different forms. I've taken myself, expended time and effort to produce X. I've exchanged X for money, and I've exchanged the money for the rabbi. That's the world of kinyanim and lekicha. One of the reasons why marriage, people are usually at a loss, they're tongue-tied when they learn Kedushin, and they translate it, a wife can be bought in three ways, and it doesn't sound quite right. And you're right, it's not buying, it's a kinyan. In other words, Kedushin, lekicha and Kedushin is seen as an extension of self, rather than something landing in your lap gratis. It's yourself, and that's why it's done through a maisa that is similar to kinyan. That's the world of kinyan. The world of matana carries in itself an opposite trait. When a person gives a matana to somebody, he invested himself in the thing. And when he's giving somebody a gift, he has his self invested in it, and a piece of self is being given over. just like when a person bought something, he made it his. When I give somebody a gift, the person getting it didn't put any effort into it, didn't put any energy into it, but the person giving it. And when we give a gift, what we're trying to do is, it's not stucco where the person needs a particular item, the person needs X, Y, Z. It's, I want to give part of myself to be with you, because it's a way of having self given with you. So even though on the surface, matana and kinyan, matana and mechira, matana and lekicha, it's right, the right contrast. Matana and lekicha are the same in the way it's done. You're talking about two different worlds of relationship. Lekicha, and what the Rambam calls Hilchos Mechira, is the ability for a person to take the world of kinyan and extend it. So work for money, for object. Matana is the ability to take things that are yours and bestow them on somebody else. And in certain types of matanas, it is possible to give it with dibur itself. It doesn't always need the same type of kinyan. There are differences, and those differences stem from the fact that there's a das charis makna, so that the primary moving force is the giver, not the taker. I want to go back to what we were speaking about over here, and now try to understand it in a much deeper term. In the world of ideas, when we say the word knowledge, understanding, we usually mean the lower parts of it. And let's explain what I mean. There are facts that China is in Asia, that oxygen and hydrogen make water. Those are facts. Those are universal. They're not mine. They're not yours. They're nobody's. They are what they are, and that's it. There are simple computational extensions of those facts. If X amount of material makes Y amount of product, so 2X of material will make 2Y of product. Those are computations that some people are better than the others, but once I hear it from somebody, if I can do it with a calculator, then it's one and the same. Whether I did it, you gave me the information, I gave you the information. The person who taught me algebra is not my Rebbe, because it's a technique. And the technique has nothing to do with the person that taught it to me. It's not him, it's not me, it's universal, and I'm just plugging into it where he plugged into it. He taught me, and I owe him a debt of gratitude for teaching it to me. But once, it's silly to say, yes, Mrs. Palmet, my fourth grade teacher, taught me that 2 equals 4. That's not, it's 2 equals 4 way before she was born and way after I'll be gone. It makes no difference. Those types of das, of knowledge, are not at all related to what we speak about in Torah. There's a deeper aspect. And what Chazal call Kishen She'ein Partzufim Domos Kach De'aseim Shalos. We know that when we think of an issue, when we think of a problem, we have a certain perspective that's unique to us. What made every person, a person thinks about a certain moral dilemma. A person thinks about a certain perspective on life and so on. That's the area that is more specifically called das, rather than just information and computation. It means the inherent ability of each human being to understand something, in a sense, this is what we would say in colloquial language, this is my take on it. That's the way I see it. After a person has thought a lot about it, mulled over it, and so on. On that, Chazal say that each person is different, and that really is what differentiates people from people. Deos shonos. That's why you have a Sanhedrin, you have a Bezdin, where for most things you need three at least, so that you take different deos and you reach sort of the midpoint between different deos. Because each day, 70 dayanim are not there because 70 make less mistakes than 3 or 1. It's a question more of getting a take on a situation and being omed on the MS. In a world of deos, where you can't really say, you, there are other tools for determining the absoluteness of that emes. So the world of das, of a person, is unique to himself. Now, if a person were to look, Torah is at its core the understanding of tov and ra. What Torah tells us is good and bad, the measure of what's good and what's bad. And if a person understands things his way, that's great, but the Torah understands it differently. And in the end, it's really the determiner of good and bad is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're kind of stuck over here. We need to understand things the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands it. But if a person comes along and he says, well, I don't know, but God said this is right, or God said this is wrong, it doesn't stick to us. It's not ourself. On the other hand, what does it mean, I think this is right? Well, it's not a tasting contest. So what does it mean, I think it's right? So at the core, a person wants to be a Yodei HaTov and Ra, but the only das, real das of Tov and Ra is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's das. How is that resolved? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can give the Torah in a way that the two coincide. If a person doesn't work at understanding anything that we hear from the outside, just like we said before, if a person gets a gift, he doesn't tend to take care of it. The kids' toys have a very, very short longevity. They last very long because the kids got them as presents. So they don't last all that long. They're not terribly appreciated. When a person earns his few dollars and he saves up to buy something, it's appreciated. In Das and the Seichel, it's much deeper than that. That which I haven't sweated over and I haven't produced with my understanding will not be me and will not be part of myself. On the other hand, if Hashem is not giving it to me, if he's not sharing his kaviyachal understanding of it, then at the end of the day, the opinion is as good as me, which is very, very small. Morality can't be a personal opinion. It can't be a matter of a personal opinion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Torah is endowed with the quality of both lekach and matana. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in the sense that it's matana. He's invested his self in it. And therefore, when I do understand it, I'm understanding something that is absolute and universal in the sense it's Hashem's Torah. But I can have the same feelings towards it, as I can have the same identification with it, as if it were my idea. And if only I worked for it. So working for it, being misyageya in Torah, gives me two parts. It gives me a grasp on an emes with a capital Aleph, and it gives me an identification with it that I'm an ish emes because it was mine. When a person thinks, it's an amazing thing, when a person thinks of chidushei Torah, and a person works hard at coming up with a chidush, this kind of a sort of one can ask a bit of antagonistic question. You say, "Wow! If you saw it in the safe and you're simply spitting it out, then it's not a chiddush. But if you thought of it and no one else ever thought of it, and no one else—I mean, not even Moshe Rabbeinu or Kadosh Baruch Hu—then it's not a chiddush Torah. It's your chiddushim. It's not Torah. Chiddush Torah unique." Because I had to break my head and sweat on it and use my own understanding of it. And if I'm going on the Derech HaEmes, then what I got was an understanding that was locked into it, that was Hashem's as well. That's an extraordinary overlapping that's almost impossible in anything else except for Torah. Chazal make this point in another way as well. Chazal, in the same Chazal, it says like this. It says, Omer Avrechia, Haluchos haya arkan shishet fachim. They were six fachim long. Kavayochel hayu biyad mishama vayolim shnei tfachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu held on to two tfachim, kavayochel. Ubiyado shel Moshe shnei tfachim. And Moshe held on to two tfachim. Ushnei tfachim vayim afish miyadad. And there were two tfachim in the middle. So the Maral says, what does it mean? What does this chazal mean? It means in halacha, there is, in Bav Metzia, it says, when two people are holding something, the object that is in your hand, literally, is all yours. The object that's in the other person's hand, completely, is all his. That which is in the middle is an area of joint ownership. And that's where the Yachloku is chal. In other words, it is seen to be simultaneously both yours and the other person's. So Chazal make that point over here about this, that this is what they want over here. I want to bring out the point, just so we don't have all that much time. I just want to sort of put it in personal terms. If a person is sincere about learning, there are two attitudes about it in terms of a person's nefesh, midos, that are almost for us contradictory. One is, you have to pursue it with the same energy, determination, ambition that a person would pursue personal, all sorts of personal pursuits. For instance, if I'm trying to come up with a great discovery that will make it, so I invest every bit of myself because it'll be me. I become famous, I become wealthy, I become this. It's my discovery, my understanding, I'll be quoted, it's identified with me. But I concurrently need the total humility of saying, it's Hashem's understanding, and I don't think I have it. The ability to look at a chazal and humbly say, it is true, but I do not yet understand it, or I finally understand it after working hard, is the real relationship of causal to Torah. We start that it's not going to be my understanding and my chidushim. This is truth, and it's universal. But I need to invest the type of energy that I understand it as if it were mine, that I have the same identification with it, the same satisfaction, and the same embrace of it, as if this is the expression of my core understanding. It's a relationship that the Baal Tanya says is impossible in any spiritual pursuit except for Torah. Every mitzvah is, I subject myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I find satisfaction in it, but learning goes to the core of what a thinking person is. A thinking person is my idea, my sense of things. And when a person is zocha to that bond of lekicha and matana, lekicha has the disadvantage that it's all me. I haven't bonded with anyone else when I bought something. Matana has a disadvantage that I don't appreciate it because it was given to me. It's not me, it's not mine, it's another thing hanging around. In Torah, a person has a lekicha and a matana. And by putting his effort into it, by investing his self in it, it's me, it's a realization of myself, it's an expression of myself, it's everything that a person down deep really needs to realize. And it is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's his. It's true because it's his. And it serves as the strongest bond between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I guess it's... people that learning at Sassol don't need brachas from other people. But it's something that we should hope for, that we should aspire for when we're learning, is to want to invest ourselves with all of the yegia, to break our heads and to sweat on it in the way we would do anything that becomes me and myself, and that when we have it, we realize, just like marriage is called lekicha, it means the sense of self and other coexist in a way that's almost impossible to logically pin down. I married the other, and yet it is the fullest realization of the self. In Torah, of all of a person's pursuits, it's the same thing. It is the realization of the self and the acquisition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one and the same. Batzlacha, and...